Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're in the studio with Adriana,
Laura,
Tori, myself, Sandy, and Tara. Today we're going to be in Philippians, and it's a great book if you haven't read it, you know, about Paul's letter and his love and encouragement always to the servants of Jesus.
I'm looking forward to this series. We have been for several years within the Cultivating Hearts Ministry walking through the Gospels and examining discipleship and how Jesus made disciples. And so this is going to be a pretty drastic shift for us to move to Paul and to actually look at a letter. And so one of the things I struggle with is like, oh, wow, it's not something that I can story the passage because it's a letter. And so we'll read the passage each week. But what we're going to find is that this particular book, the book of Philippians, was written to the people of Philippi. And this story actually occurs in the book of Acts when Paul met the people of Philippi. And so we'll go to Acts and examine Acts some. And so I'm looking forward to that. So let's read the scripture and see what Paul has to say. And then we'll kind of get in. We'll talk about some context and some things from background that we need to know, and then we'll go through and answer some questions together. My biggest fear is that because it's not a story, that I don't want to be the one where I'm always talking, so I want to make sure you guys chime in, okay?
Oh, yes, I forgot to introduce our peeps.
Why don't you do that? Good way to chime in.
Well, why don't you introduce yourself, starting with you?
I'm Adriana. I'm a senior at Grace.
I'm Laura. I'm a junior at Grace this year, and I'm excited to be here with you guys today.
I'm Tori. I'm a dude, and I am a junior at Grace University.
I'm Tara.
Oh, and I'm Sandy.
It works. Okay, so the Bible tells us in Philippians 1, let's read what it says. Paul and Timothy, slaves of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and the deacons, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you. I'm always praying with joy for all of you in every prayer because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I'm sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It's right for me to think this way about all of you, because I have you in my heart, and you are all partners with me in the grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense of the establishment of the gospel. For God is my witness how deeply I miss all of you with the affection of Jesus Christ, and I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment, so that you can approve the things that are superior and can be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. May God honor the reading of his word. Okay, so before we get started, just everybody share, you know, what immediately comes to mind if you hear his letter. What are your first thoughts of hearing Paul's heart?
His heart is always of love for those, because he's always praying for them and thanking God for them. So I think Paul's definitely following Jesus' footsteps of love everybody.
That's good.
It's really interesting to see how automatically he's going and trying to encourage the Philippian church. Like when you see over in verse 6 how he is just reinstating that he who began a good work in them will bring it to completion. Like it's just kind of cool to see how his first concern is like saying, hey, you're appreciated and God is going to continue working with you.
That's good.
I think it's really cool just of his emphasis on prayer and how with that just comes the fact that he can both praise God for them, but he can also pray into their lives and to pray just for, especially for grace and peace and how those are tied so closely with joy, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah, I think it's really cool too how, I mean, verse 3, I think, my God, every time. And in verse 4, you know, I always pray with joy. I mean, there's not one time where he doesn't pray or thank God. And that's like, he's faithful in thanking and praying for them. I think it's kind of interesting.
Right, know, and I think that praying with joy shows his heart.
Right.
You know, it's his heart that's joyful.
That's so good. It's all so good. All of these are things that will unfold in the next few weeks as we talk. Kind of to set the stage, what we need to know is that Philippi was founded about 386 BC, and it was known for its wells and its fountains, and it was also a Roman colony, and it was set in Macedonia in the northern part of Greece. And Paul had gone there on a journey. It depends on which commentator you go to, somewhere between 52 to 63 AD. Different ones were definitive. It was this date or this date, and so I just put the average of what they suggested. But the book of Acts 16 is the book that actually tells the story. And this is the fun part about Paul's letter. It had been 10 years since he had been in Philippi. And when he was in Philippi, we really only have a very short, condensed storyline of what actually occurred. And so if you guys want to turn to Acts 16, I will kind of short story. I'm not going to, like, read the passage, but I'll kind of short story you through what happened. So Paul and Silas, they were actually on their way on a journey, and it just tells them a little bit before in chapter 15, but they were stopped and they were told to go to a new place. Actually, it's in chapter 16 just before. And so the Lord sent someone to send them off to the Macedonia area, and so they went off. As they were walking down to where the people were outside the city gate, they went down to the river, and as they went down to the river, they found a lady named Lydia, who was very well known for being a dealer of purple, and so she was a pretty wealthy woman, and they were down at the river praying, and Paul shared with them, and the Lord opened up Lydia's heart, and Lydia actually came to know the Lord, and her whole household ended up following the Lord and were baptized. And because of that, she ended up urging Paul, come, please, come stay with me. And he went, and Silas, they went and stayed at her house. Well, that began with prayer. The next part of the story that tells us, it says that, well, one day as Paul and Silas were on their way to prayer, a slave girl that had been hired by her merchants, the slave owners, to go and do fortune telling. And she, when she saw Paul and Silas, she immediately started following them along, and she would shout out, these men that are preaching are men of the Most High God. And she just would not stop. Everywhere they went, she was shouting out, you know, these are the men who are proclaiming to you are of the Most High God. And what she was speaking was truth, but it was very aggravating. Eventually, Paul just turned and said, in the name of Jesus, I command you, get out of her. And immediately the evil spirit left her. And the men who owned her were furious because he had just destroyed their way of making money. So they took Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace in front of the authorities and told them that he's disturbing the city, he's causing problems, and they beat them. A mob came in, they stripped them of their clothes, and they then threw them down into the prison. And when I say they beat them, it was like it was a terrible, terrible beating, and put them in the stocks. Well, that night, Paul and Silas, about midnight, they were in the prison cell, and they're praising God and singing. They're praying, depending on which translation, it's either praising or praying. When suddenly a terrible, violent earthquake occurs, and it shakes up everything, and it shakes the doors, it shakes the chains, it literally unleashes the shackles on them, unlocks the doors, and when the jailer wakes up and he sees that the prisoners are free, he goes to kill himself. And Paul shouts out to him, don't harm yourself, we're all here. And the jailer went to him, turned on the lights, and he was just trembling before Paul and Silas, and he took them, and he said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul told him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved, you and your household. So as he spoke this message, he took him to their house, the jailer did, and he shared it with everyone in the household, and the whole household came to know the Lord, and they cleaned Paul's wounds and Silas's wounds. Well, the next morning, the officials were like, just release them, and Paul's like, what? You're going to release us after you've beaten us? We're Roman citizens. No, you tell them to come and release us themselves and apologize. And so they were in shock because you can't do that to a Roman citizen. And so they went and apologized to Paul and Silas. And then they left and they went back to Lydia's house. And that's where they encouraged the brothers and sisters in Christ. That is what happened in Philippi. So we have Paul going to the river, Paul and Silas going to the river to pray. We have them going into the city to pray, dealing with a demon-possessed girl, and then praising and praying, singing God at midnight when they're in after being beaten. And so here we have a prayer that Paul has. We can see that his relationship with Philippi is centered on prayer. Okay, now let's let that be a part of what we talk about. And so I was curious with each of you, have you had somebody that you really feel like invested in you with prayer? Who's the person and what did that do for you?
Well, for me, my best friend Jade, she and I haven't seen each other for a couple of years now just because we live about 12 hours apart driving. But it's really cool because our entire friendship was based on us praying for each other even before we were like close friends. And then after, like, there was about a year or two where we were just praying for each other and kind of then ended up working at camp together for a couple summers. And it's just crazy how God can build relationships that are based entirely on our love of Him. And it's just really cool, and it's been such an encouragement to me just to have a friend who I can just text her and be like, hey, can you pray for this? And know that she will be praying for me and to be able to do the same thing for her.
That's good.
Yeah, it's hard to narrow it down to one or two people because just the amazingness of prayer and the body of believers and the community that comes with that. Kind of a little bit similar to what Adriana was saying. I have a friend who I met when I was down in Ecuador last spring, and just every time that we would talk together, like, we always ended it with prayer and just the importance of that, and how even now we don't always, like, it's not on Facebook, we may be messaging and it's like, it's not necessarily like, oh, how was your day? It's like, okay, what can I pray for you for? Or sending verses, or just how amazing, like, praying scripture over people, which I'm sure we'll talk about later, is just an amazing experience as well. And so just that connection that we don't always necessarily have what's going on in our life, but we have what we need prayer over.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
My parents would definitely have to be the big people in my life that really taught me how to pray. You know, it was never excuse me, it was never foreign to me to see my mom praying, you know, by herself in her room. And my dad, he always told me, he's like, Tori, if you really love people, you'll pray for them. Uh-huh. And the more you pray for them, the more you'll love them. And so, yeah, I think prayer, my parents showed me that. And it actually made me want to pray more, seeing their love for people. And like, wow, they express that through prayer. And like, yeah, the most loving thing you can do for someone is to ask God to do something instead.
That's good.
That's really true.
Yeah, we have a fellowship group that meets at my house on Tuesdays, and it's all about prayer for each other, you know. And so when there's a health problem, or which we've all had at our group because we're older than you peeps. But, yeah, it's just that depending on each other for the prayer. And I know, Terry, you're a great prayer warrior also.
I want to be. I don't know that I am.
People call me that, too, and I'm like,
Work on it. You know, growing up, I don't know that I knew of anybody that actually prayed for me.
I didn't either.
You know, that wasn't something I had. So hearing you guys talk about that just makes my heart feel special. But when I went to seminary and I met a lady named Maureen Dopkins, and she actually is probably close to my parents' age, but Maureen and I became very close, and she became my prayer partner. Mm-hmm. And our prayer relationship lasted, I don't know, probably like 8 or 9 years past graduation of seminary, because it fed so much in me getting together with her and to be able to lift each other up, share our lives. And for her, it was really probably her mentoring me into a righteous woman, because there was much to mentor. But the affection that happens in our heart blows my mind away when we pray. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we see here in Paul's letter. We kind of talked about that. It's powerful and it's beautiful. And it's been 10 years and he still has this love for them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that blows my mind away, you know, how your affections just don't change with time or distance, like with you and Jade. And I know for myself, if Maureen and I picked up the phone, it's as if time has not happened in our lives. And so there's a gift that happens with this prayer that we give to one another. And so that, I think, is important. right here, what we have is an example of Paul's letters. And so I'm kind of going to give a little background on the Hellenistic way of doing a letter. He is actually following a formula that they did corporately and in the community and culturally. And so the times that we're going to go through this over many months, it's not going to just be the next 4 weeks, we'll be in Philippians for a long time. They would always have a greeting, the prayer, a thanksgiving, the content of whatever they wanted to say, and then sometimes special greetings or a special situation as they're closing. And so this is the format that's going to be, that we're going to be working through as we look at Paul. And obviously everybody knows this is about trials, right? And so I'm just curious, before we get into going verse by verse, how have trials formed you?
Oh my goodness, I could go on and on. The loss of my husband, when I had cancer and Steve had cancer at the same time, when my daughter just went through cancer, those kind of trials strengthen you. You know, it's not fun to go through trials, but with Jesus, I can't imagine anybody going through anything without him.
Mm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. One of my stories, Sandy's heard this often, I have no idea if my friends here have or not, but I went to do a hospital visit with Sandy when Steve was in the hospital, and I don't remember what it was, but my frame of mind was not where it should be, not because I was visiting Sandy and Steve, but because I had sin in my heart, and I was in the parking garage, and God had convicted me. I wasn't allowed to go into the hospital room until I actually prayed and got my heart right before I went in, and so I sat in the parking lot and just prayed for a while, and, you know, didn't feel any better on the inside because, you know, it's still raw and fresh of whatever it was I was dealing with, which probably was petty and superficial, whatever. And and so I walk into the hospital room, and Sandy and her daughter Kim were standing there. And before I could do anything, Sandy and Kim both were like, "Will you pray for us?" Mm-hmm. And it hit me so hard how important it is what we do for one another when we are in community and being available to pray and not having something that can hinder us when we have the opportunity to give to somebody. Mm-hmm. That's what he's doing for the people of Philippi. There's this unity occurring among the people, and so he's wanting to get them back on the focus of where their minds need to be. But he does it in a loving way and a spiritually mature way. So you're going to have to come back in the next few weeks to see how it unfolds, to see what Paul does. Thank you for listening to Cultivating Hearts. God bless.